funny enough, it was like the easiest song ever to write. I was working with this producer and he had the line, please let nothing ever happen to our house. Mm-hmm. And he had just sung that into like a voice memo and he sent it to me. And I was like, gay anthem. First of all, this producer is just a straight white man. And I'm just like, how did you?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Pakistan authorities send a gay bar applicant to a psychiatric hospital. A U.S. federal judge strikes down Florida's harsh restrictions on gender-affirming health care. And Carolyn Kingsbury takes queer music and family to our house. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Elena Botkin-Levy.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending June 15th, 2024. A gay man who wants to start a queer night spot in Pakistan must be crazy. So authorities have sent Pritam Gyani to a psychiatric hospital. The envisioned Lorenzo Gay Club, in Gyani's application with the deputy commissioner of the northern city of Abbottabad, is not that insane. He says it would constitute a great practical convenience and resource for many homosexual, bisexual, and even some heterosexual people, residing in Abbottabad in particular, and in other parts of the country in general. Promising only casual socializing and light refreshments, the application affirms that patrons would be barred from gay or non-gay contact beyond kissing. A prominent, all caps, no sex on premises warning would be posted on the wall. Nevertheless, Deputy Commissioner Abbas Afridi told 24 News HD that the application was impractical on religious, constitutional, and legal grounds. Same-gender sex is a crime in Pakistan, punishable by up to 2 years in prison. Those laws are rarely prosecuted, but their existence and strong societal taboos combine to keep most queers in their South Asian closets. The application was leaked to social media, outraging many of the city's public officials. Gyani's recent visit to the UK fueled online conspiracy theories that he's an undercover agent working on behalf of the West. Gyani told reporters from The Telegraph, "I talk about human rights, and I want everyone's human rights to be defended." When they attempted to visit him at home on May 9th, they discovered that the 75-year-old attempted gay bar owner had been sent to Sarhad Hospital in Peshawar for psychiatric disease. Friends are deeply concerned for his safety. Efforts to visit him have been blocked. One said that anything could happen to Gyani at any time. Another said, everyone is afraid that talking about it will put them in danger.
Gay Taiwanese photojournalist Li Jiahang won't be displaying his portraits of the lives of gay men in mainland China anytime soon. Lin was arrested just as he was starting to set up a booth to promote his work at a Nanjing City book fair on May 31st. He told the Voice of America by phone, "The police first went back to my hotel room for another round of search and took me and a staff from the book fair to the police station." The police told Lin that he would be detained for 24 hours for spreading obscene images. To be clear, Lin does not publish pornography. He explained how they took away my phone, put me in handcuffs, performed a strip search on me, and collected my fingerprints and blood samples. Police grilled Lin about his personal life and sexuality, his relatives, and why he photographed gay men. He told VOA, "The police then sent me back to a room, and I was detained for several hours with other people." Lin was released in the wee hours after the authorities had confiscated most of his work, especially anything specifically LGBTQ. They told him he got into trouble because his photographs aren't appropriate for public display. Lean finally returned home to Taipei, delayed by the exorbitant cost of changing pre-booked flights. The shaken photographer wonders if he'll ever again travel to mainland China.
To U.S. federal judge Robert Hinkelitz, clear that anti-transgender animus drove the passage of Florida's cruel restrictions on gender-affirming health care. Hinkle's June 11th ruling struck down the law that denied reversible puberty blockers and other forms of hormone therapy to patients under the age of 18. The decision also overturned the law's provisions that require transgender adults to get their treatment only from licensed physicians instead of consulting other healthcare providers. Lawyers representing the transgender plaintiffs argued that the legislation by the Republican-controlled state government was fundamentally biased. In Hinkle's words, transgender opponents are of course free to hold their beliefs, but they are not free to discriminate against transgender individuals just for being transgender. In time, discrimination against transgender individuals will diminish, just as racism and misogyny have diminished. To paraphrase a civil rights advocate from an earlier time, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. The state of Florida will appeal Hinkle's ruling. A spokesperson for Governor Ron DeSantis called medically established gender-affirming care a fad that history will look back on in horror.
The Biden administration's guidance that federal anti-bias education laws cover sexual orientation and gender expression or identity has been temporarily blocked. U.S. District Judge Terry A. Doty issued a ruling on June 13th. Biden's Department of Education issued its interpretation of the law in April. Trump-appointed Louisiana-based Judge Doty wrote of the department's guidance, "The abuse of power by administrative agencies is a threat to democracy." His order prevents employing the interpretation in Louisiana, where the state's Republican-controlled government spawned the original challenge. It also stands in Idaho, Mississippi, and Montana, the equally Republican states whose governments joined the lawsuit. The Education Department stands firm as it reviews the ruling, saying, "Title IX guarantees that no person experience sex discrimination in a federally funded educational environment." The department stands by the final Title IX regulations released in April 2024, and we will continue to fight for every student.
A Massachusetts public school can stop a student from wearing a t-shirt that says there are only two genders. The Boston-based U.S. First Circuit Court of Appeals sided with the Middleborough School District this week. John T. Nichols Middle School 7th grader Liam Morrison sued after his principal ordered him to take off the shirt. Morrison claimed to be expressing his views on gender identity. The principal believed it was hate speech. The court decided that a school's obligation to protect its LGBTQ students from bias supersedes First Amendment free speech guarantees. The Morrison family is represented by lawyers from the rabidly anti-queer Alliance Defending Freedom. They said they are reviewing all legal options.
Finally, recent questions about the ethical conduct of U.S. Supreme Court justices are rocking confidence in the judiciary. That could change the political landscape for LGBTQ people and other marginalized groups that have depended on the courts to uphold their rights. The same justices who have expressed opinions opposing those rights are facing the spotlight of scandals involving lavish gifts and concerns about unbiased judgment. Right-leaning Justice Clarence Thomas has received literally millions of dollars in vacation travel, a high-end RV, and tuition for his grandnephew from a wealthy benefactor interested in influencing the court. Thomas wrote of the Dobbs opinion that overturned Roe v. Wade that marriage equality rested on the same shaky ground. Justice Samuel Alito has received questionable gifts on a much smaller scale. He has also voiced skepticism about the Obergefell decision. Critics of Thomas and Alito find clues to their biases in the conduct of their wives. Ginny Thomas was active in fomenting Donald Trump's January 6th assault on the Capitol. Justice Alito blames his wife Martha Ann for flying flags representing support for that insurrection over both of their residences. Progressive journalist Lauren Windsor played the role of a supportive MAGA Republican to chat with Martha Ann Alito at the June 10th Supreme Court Historical Society reception. The occasion allowed Alito to hoist her true colors.
You know what I want? I want a Sacred Heart of Jesus flag because I have to look across the lagoon at the Pride flag for the next month. I made a flag in my head. This is how I satisfy myself. I made a flag. It's white and it's yellow and orange flames around it. And in the middle is the word vergogna. Vergogna in Italian means shame.
Corrotto.
Martha Ann Alito also confided that she would be able to let her freak flag fly in 5 years, hinting that her husband may be near retirement. A potential Supreme Court opening should be reason enough to cast a ballot in November.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending June 15th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Elena Botkin-Levy. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Najera. Stay safe.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Hello, and happy Pride Month from This Way Out. It's still Pride Month, and we are continuing our special features. This week, Pride is a party, and we are speaking to musician and artist Carolyn Kingsbury about their newest single, Our House. I've been streaming it for a few weeks now, and it's fun, vibrant, and just in time for Pride Month. I'm Daniel Macias. Stay tuned.
I'm mezzo-soprano Jamie Barton, and Pride is music. One of the reasons I love music so much is because it helps me feel. Whether it's the joy I feel when dancing in a crowd at a Pride festival, or the catharsis I feel when a lyric manages to articulate exactly what my heart and gut have been trying to put words to, music is always right there to help me feel whatever feelings I'm sorting through. So, for this Pride Month, I hope music is your own companion through all of the feelings. No matter what feelings you've got.
What song do you think of when you hear the phrase Pride Anthem? Maybe it's the accidental anthem I'm Coming Out by the boss herself, Diana Ross. Or Go West. First by the Village People, and then by the Pet Shop Boys. Or Born This Way by Lady Gaga.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M.
Songs considered Pride anthems are often marked by a few themes. Perseverance, inner strength, acceptance, and unity. And our community continues to adopt songs as anthems, whether identifiably queer or not. But in 2024, there seems to be a queer renaissance happening in music where artists place their identities and experience at the forefront of their songwriting, without shame and without apology. One of those artists is Carolyn Kingsbury. You may have heard some of Carolyn's music in the 2002 slasher film Scream, or on Never Have I Ever on Netflix.
Davy's victory was bittersweet. The thing she wanted most in the world was in the palm of her hands, but something else she wanted seemed to be slipping away.
She's toured the U.S. multiple times, supporting artists like Alex Leahy, St. Lucia, Arlie, and has garnered praise from The New Yorker, Gay Times, Rolling Stone, and so many more. Pitchfork praised her music for its emotive power and theatrical range, reminiscent of 80s heart. Her music is vibrant and bold. Her look, even more so. Like Jam and the Holograms meets Cyndi Lauper. Her new single, Our House, just dropped. It's the first single from Carolyn's forthcoming EP, I Really Don't Care. It's due out this summer. It's a song that at its core is about community, chosen family, and home. I sat down with Carolyn Kingsbury to talk about Our House. Plus, we get into her journey from Florida to Nashville to Los Angeles to home. Let's get into it. Carolyn Kingsbury, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
I want to get into the single, Our House. Tell us about the song and really what went into forming it all together.
Funny enough, it was like the easiest song ever to write. I was working with this producer and he had the line, please let nothing ever happen to our house. Mm-hmm. And he had just sung that into like a voice memo and he sent it to me. And I was like, gay anthem. First of all, this producer is just a straight white man. And I'm just like, how did you? Yeah. So we really, from that little thing that he wrote, it just came to me. I was like, our house.
Yeah.
Gay. And also when we were writing it, this was last year we were writing it. I had, at this point now, it's been about 4 years that I've been estranged from my dad, because of my sexuality. And he's a conservative person and I still love him a lot and I miss him, but we've been estranged for a while. And I was thinking about the way that my queer community and my queer friends had to literally become my family.
Yeah.
Because I had my mom, but I didn't have anybody else. My brother had passed away as well. And my dad had kind of left my life around that time as well. And so like, when I heard the Our House thing, it just came, I was just like, Our House, we get to create what we want for our life. And that is such a privilege in a way. Also, I think I'm a very privileged white cis queer person. And so I have that privilege of, okay, I get to decide who's around me and who is, you know, my family. And I think that even if you're not privileged in being queer, it's like, that is how we survive, you know, and how we, because you need family, you need community, you need all these things. And so it's like, it's rooted in this very like serious thing, especially just, you know, my brother dying and my dad leaving my life and all these things, like, being connected with me coming out and that period of time in my life, that when this song started forming, it was just so easy because it had already been happening. And it was like, oh, boom.
I know that you are a Florida native. I want to talk about that journey from Florida to California.
Well, I actually moved out here with an ex-boyfriend. This was before I had come out. So I had actually lived in Nashville, in between Florida and LA. So I moved to Nashville, right out of high school and then moved to LA. But it was basically once I got to LA was when my queerness really started to bloom, because I saw people living openly and proudly and in a very cool, high fashion, amazing way. And I was like, I want some of that. That was fun. And I had been in a relationship with this man and he was like my first boyfriend. And when that relationship ended and I was in LA, I was like, let's go. Because I was ready and I knew that I was really queer and I needed to explore that and figure out, you know, what this really meant for me. So Florida to Nashville to LA, LA really blew open my worldview and helped me become who I am today.
The 80s is a really, for a lot of people, a very difficult time in history, but also such a rich part of popular culture musically.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of your influences come from the 1980s. Who do you look to at that time and feel just like so enamored of?
Well, David Bowie, Prince, Cyndi Lauper, The Cure. I mean, those are really my main ones. Madonna, Boy George. And it's funny because there is this resurgence of 80s sounds actually in popular music happening now. And I think it's like an interesting thing to kind of be like, when things are getting tense, people will be drawn to these sort of dramatic, colorful, emotionally charged things that maybe people would call cheesy, but it provides people comfort and it provides people a different world to live in. I think there's like a gay renaissance happening in many ways also right now too, which is exciting to be, I'm excited to be a part of it.
Our house is an extension of important stuff that's taking place now. When you were writing the song, when you were piecing everything together, do you feel it's like a pride anthem? Do you feel like people can play it across the world?
Yes. That was our intention. And I think, like you had mentioned, there is a funny thing, I think, happening in the queer community, which is that there's a lot of gay music coming up. And I think that is beautiful. Whether or not you like it, you don't like it, whatever. I think it's a beautiful thing that so many queer people are like, I'm putting out music and it's gay.
It is Pride Month. Are there any Pride anthems that you have on repeat currently, apart from your own?
I gotta be honest. I listen to Billie Holiday, Adrian Lenker, and then a variety of weird 80s music.
Yeah.
So I am not necessarily the person to ask, but I love Good Luck, Babe. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Good Luck, Babe, cemented in the sky forever. Just the longing and just the way that they did the whole production too. But also I want to shout out Kalani. Kalani just released a song that is literally Free Palestine. She is so special.
Carolyn, thank you so much for spending time with me. I do like to end my interviews asking if there was anything that I may have missed, anything else you'd like to mention.
If listeners want to go find my music, I have a debut album called Heaven's Just a Flight that I put out a few years ago. And yeah, I'm just going to be like putting out a bunch of stuff and come join my weird little journey, you know?
Thank you so much, Caroline. I appreciate it.
For your listening pleasure, this is Our House by Caroline Kingsbury.
Paradise here on earth, baby, it's you and I.
Thank you again to Carolyn Kingsbury. You can stream Our House wherever you love to listen, and you can also follow her on Instagram to keep up with her latest and her upcoming EP, at KingsburyXX. That's at KingsburyXX. We have a few Pride anthems that we know and love at This Way Out. This one's from our CEO at Overnight Productions, Brian DeShazer. It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. From Greg Gordon, our coordinating producer, John Gilbert Levitt's Pride. From Lucia Chappelle, our associate producer, Something Inside by Labby Sifri. And from our technical director, Jason Jen, Pink Pony Club by Chapel Roan. And as for me, I would have to say What I Want by Muna. It's fun, in your face, and very queer. Happy Pride Month from all of us to you out there. Remember, we want to know what Pride means to you. So send us an email or a voice memo to info@thiswayout.org. That's info@thiswayout.org. Include your name, where you're from, and what Pride means to you. Music featured is by Ketza and Carolyn Kingsbury. And this feature was produced by me, Daniel Vasillas. Next week, Pride is a protest. We look back on the origins of Pride, take stock of where we are now, and where Pride is headed. Until then, take care and take pride.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Elena Bacalivi and Marcos Najara and produced by Brian DeShazer with assistance by Daniel Huesius, the producer of this week's special Pride feature. Tom Petty, Ketza, and Carolyn Kingsbury performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson, composer, performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks John Dyer V of Winston, Oregon, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Thanks also to Los Angeles cannabis provider MMG Shops for being a This Way Out Pride partner. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on CJAM Windsor, Ontario, WGDR Hardwick and Plainfield, Vermont, KPFT Galveston, Houston, Huntsville, Texas, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay prideful, and stay tuned.